Blog Talk Radio. All right. We're going to learn today. Shalom and good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba, one of the teachers with the ISBHBK. That's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. And I'm joined today by my brother, my friend of well over 30 years, the brother Gabar Kawash. Shalom, what's going on?
Shalom. And Shalom, Israel. Good morning.
Baruch Kwa Tawa. All right. Yesterday we was going over profanity and taking the name of the Lord in vain. And I had kind of a long intro yesterday. I don't plan on having a long intro like that today. I do want to give shout outs to all the other Hebrew Israelite camps and schools out here teaching and helping wake up our people to their nationality and to God's righteousness. To the ISBHBK school here in San Antonio, the Sport of Truth, which is ran by headed by the brother Warner Iyer, the brother Sam Shawan, and the brother Dariad. They're holding it down here in San Antonio with the ISBHBK. To the school in Houston is being held down currently by the brother Quataza, with the help of the brothers Vakarab Shastas in Houston. And I got their address too, matter of fact. The school in San Antonio, again, which is being stewarded, I'll use that word, by the brother Warner Iyer and Sham Shawan and Dawiyad, is located at 4444 Walsham, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, being the zip code there. They have classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and also on Saturdays. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I believe it starts at 7 p.m. and goes at 9 p.m. Check them out if you're in the San Antonio area. Then on Saturdays, starting at, they do the Sabbath ceremony, starting at, is it 8?
I believe it's actually 7. I thought it was here this time.
Yeah, we're going to check on that. And then the school in... Our school in Houston is at, y'all gotta forgive me. Today's gonna be a little delay today. My eyes are really, really, really going haywire today. The school in Houston is located at 231 FM 1092 in Stafford, Texas, 77477. That's in the Houston area. Now, it's in the Houston area. I'm not sure which ward. I was told that it's basically only like 10 minutes away from the old school that was located on Braeswood. But this is, again, the school in Houston is 231 FM 1092, Stafford, Texas, 77477. And if you'd like more information about that school, you can, let me get this here. Oh, wait. Let me go back to that. If you'd like more information about the school in Houston, about the times and everything, you can contact the brother Quatazov. And his phone number is area code 303-557-8979. Right? Again, for the school information there in Houston, you can contact the brother Quatazov at 303-557-8979 to get their school hours and everything. And I believe their school hours are Mondays. They have classes 7 days a week, but you can locate them on YouTube. Again, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, starting at 7 p.m. Local time there in Houston at ISBHBK Houston. All right. And they also have a sweet ambiance and looking in to the malls out there, as well as the website, Sweet Ambiance, where if you want to get your body oils and fragrances and smell goods for the home, for the body, for the mind, you can locate them on, again, Sweet Ambiance online. You can even start a monthly subscription with them to where every month they'll make sure they send you out the flavor of the month. You get an oil, I mean, you get a soap and a shower steamer if you become a member of Sweet Ambiance. So go ahead and give them a shout out to help out their business and everything. In San Antonio, they have Eastern Fragrances located at Rolling Oaks Mall, which is their cart is right in front of. It's on the first floor.
Or right next to the elevator.
On the first floor, right next to the elevator, you can go check them out. Again, get your body oils, and fragrances for and your body fragrances, right? In San Antonio. Then we got also San Antonio, we have Pure Therapy, ran by the brother Bonabot and his wife, Quartasaya. They have an actual in-store location. They're in Rolling Oaks Mall, also at an actual store. That's more feminine. Now, if you want to get more of your holistic herbs and stuff like that, and more of your feminine
feminine bath balls,
your bath balls, lotions,
it's better
soaps.
Bath and Beyond. It's sort of in that, but it's holistic. It's healing. Lavender, teas, the holistic teas for the healing of diabetes, pain, holistic oils for pain, a variety of healing, I don't want to say substances, but healing products.
Okay. And that's Pure Therapy located, again, Rolling Oaks Mall in San Antonio, Texas, over by JCPenney, right? Over by the JCPenney wing of...
Across from the H&M.
Across from H&M, right? You want to go check them out.
Directly.
Then we have the school also in Virginia. And again, it's been so long since I've visited these schools. We had a school in Norfolk, Virginia. They have classes, YouTube classes, ISBHBK Virginia. On Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays also. You can check them out on YouTube. And then there's the school in Rochester, so the brothers and sisters up there in Rochester. Rochester being held down by the brother Zion. Young brother who's come in, he's only been in maybe 5 years, 6 years, and he's already head of a school under the leadership of Kwatazap and Kazakia, doing a fantastic job, doing a great job. So those are schools that we're affiliated with, as well as Masharaya Sha'ala, government of Israel, whose calendar that they were under, and hold a lot of the summits held across America every three or four months. Shout out to them. They have locations all over. You can check out their website and their YouTube, Facebook at Masharaya Sha'ala. They're on Instagram. You can check them out. The brothers of Light of Zion down there in Florida. We always get a chance to, when we go down for the fair down there, we get a chance to give a shout out to them and the brother Kahan, Priest Kahan down there, and the brother Shama, and the brother Gabar, the brother Gabar, Gad Gabar in Florida. Give a shout out to my brother. It's been a minute since I've seen you. Hopefully we won't be changing that. To the brothers and sisters in Atlanta, just all over, Shalom. All right. Diving into this topic now. I've got that out the way now. Are you going to say something?
One more thing. The Feast of Unleavened Bread ended yesterday.
It is tonight. The Feast of Unleavened Bread actually ended. Last night was the it marked the last day The beginning of the last day. It was Wednesday night sundown. Beginning of the last day. So we go through the full day. So today at sunset, the feast of unleavened bread. Okay, at sunset, if you want to go back to your leaven, your filthy heathens. I'm kidding. feel free to do so. That at sunset tonight actually ends. It's done. Right? It was just the announcement that Wednesday is the last day, but that was the beginning of the last day. If that's making sense. That the last full day was Wednesday sundown to Thursday sundown. All right, so Thursday night sundown tonight, the Feast of Unleavened Bread will officially be observed. It'll be done. With all that now out the way, yesterday when we left off, we were talking about how people's heads would be, their ears catching flames, heads exploding from the things that we were bringing out in the scriptures. And showing we were comparing yesterday what we've been taught through Christianity and what we've been taught through religion and taught from the American system of civility, the American system of morality, for what profanity is, the four-letter words, if you will. And we was going through several scriptures, which we've been doing this from part one of the series, and yesterday was part seven, today's part eight, of just showing for everything that you think is profane, for what you've been taught through religion, that when you actually read the Bible, you see that the Lord is pretty explicit. The Bible is pretty explicit. So for what you might call profane, and what we've been taught, again, through religion, the Lord doesn't consider that profanity. The four-letter words, if you will, or and so forth and such. I'm not going to just jump right into saying these words or saying those words, but I do want to now get into what does the Lord call profane? That's what I want. One thing I want to get into today. Again, just exposing that from Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. Paul lets us know, and it was saying and prophesying that the Lord was going to raise up ministers, and that we're going to reveal the mystery that has been here for ages and for generations, but now that has been made manifest to his saints. That what and on that topic, on this topic, what is profanity? What is taking the name of the Lord in vain? That's how the series actually started, and we're building up to that. What does it mean to take the name in vain? That for us to get into this mentality and be more focused on the four-letter words as opposed to what God actually calls profane, and that we've been misled is the point I guess I'm trying to get to. We as a people have been deeply misled from what God's righteousness really is. I'm not told Gabar we're going to start with Leviticus chapter 19, verse 21, but before I go there, I guess we got to go ahead and go through some of our pre scriptures that we always hit up. I can't go through all of them, but let's go to St. John 17 verse 17. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. And that we have been lied to on a deep level. We have been lied to, and our focus, and with the intention of keeping us away from God's righteousness, with the intention of the Israelites, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, so-called Mexicans, here in the Western Hemisphere of the globe or the planet, that we've been lied to. About God's righteousness. It's been heavily pressed upon us the church's righteousness, a religious righteousness, a college righteousness, a job's righteousness, a union righteousness. But we have been kept ignorant on a deep level to God's righteousness. Because as we go through the scriptures, and we're not going to do that today, I don't want to take, I don't want this point taking too far off, but to know and understand that, that we as Israelites, we've been in captivity many times. That's just common biblical history. If you got any biblical history knowledge at all, you know about Moses, and Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt with God saying to the Egyptians, "Let my people go." At least you're familiar with that. I mean, from the Prince of Egypt to Sesame DeMille's old ass movie, The Ten Commandments, we share that type of familiarity of Moses leading the Israelites through the Red Sea, the chosen people, God's people through the Red Sea. The Red Sea crashing down upon the Egyptians was actually, you know, part of the Passover. We're familiar with Joseph and a many-colored coat, and how his father had love for him. Jacob had love for him, gave him a many-colored coat, and his brothers were jealous, and they sold him into slavery, and he actually went into slavery down in Egypt. And then from there, that's when we became a nation down in Egypt and was in captivity to the Egyptians. And being freed by the coming together as a people, praying to our God, and our God sending the Savior Moses at the time with the first Passover in the book of Exodus. Well, from that point in time, for the 40 years in the wilderness, and then we finally got to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. And by the time we go through the book, Joshua brings us into the promised land. And then by the time we get to the book of Joshua, we get to the book of Judges. And from the book of Judges, you start reading about how that we kept, as Israelites, the Israelites kept breaking God's laws while in the promised land. We kept breaking the covenant with God. And God would punish the Israelites many times by bringing us into many captivities. And we would go through those captivities. And within those captivities, we would realize why it was happening. And we would repent. We as a nation would come together and we would repent. And when we did that, then God would always send the Savior. He would always send the Savior to come and get us. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find this. Might need your help. I know we're in St. John 17:17, and this is where now my eyes, I really want to be able to see right now. Brothers, if y'all look up the word saviors, in whatever concordance you might be have available to you, or a Bible app or what have you, look up the word saviors. And I'm going to do that right now as well. Saviors.
Nehemiah 9:27.
Let's get that.
Okay, we are in book Nehemiah. The chapter is 9 and verse 27. And mm-hmm. It reads, "Therefore thou deliveredest them into the hands of their enemies."
Hold on, I guess we got to start above that. Man, I cannot see, and this sucks. Even worse than, I mean, my right eye is getting cloudy. So it is hard, and that's my good eye, right? It's supposed to be my good eye. We're in Nehemiah, right?
Nehemiah chapter 9.
We want to start above where you're reading from.
26. Oh, we probably would. Let me see.
It's going to give a brief history.
Right. If we start at 1, so we know that it's talking about Israel. You know, I can read it. I can read one. Let's see. Down to 26. So I can start at Nehemiah 9 and 1 and 2 and then drop down to 26.
Let's start at read 1 and then verse 19.
Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 1, and it reads, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them." Verse 19. "Yet thou and thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness."
Hold on. Verse 14.
Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 14. "And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant."
All right, cool. So, so we got into Egypt. While there, we were delivered, and we know Moses gave us the Ten Commandments, and many people are familiar with that part, that he gave the Ten Commandments, but actually he gave us over 617 commandments he actually gave the Israelites. He gave our forefathers, all right? And all that was the covenant that between Israel and the Lord God, that we would obey him, that he would be our God, and we would be his people, we'd be his chosen. So Nehemiah now is recapping of, if you will, and giving, in short, a brief history about the Israelites up until this time. Keep reading. Verse 15.
Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 15. And it reads, "And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them."
All right, so many people are familiar with how we ate manna. The Israelites coming out of Egypt for that 40 years, we ate manna. We literally ate angel's food. All right? A lot of people are familiar with this. Go ahead.
Verse 16. "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage."
Right, and this is what we literally did. We didn't want to be under God's commandments no more, or under God's authority, and we actually raised up leaders and people to take us back to Egypt, which had been destroyed. But we were just so indoctrinated and so institutionalized with the culture and with the ways and with the lifestyle that we become accustomed to in Egypt, that we wanted to return back to Egypt. Go ahead.
The middle of Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17. "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yet, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way
neither the pillar of fire by night, to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yeah, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not.
Hallelujah. Have mercy. That day I swung the feet and let, ooh, my goodness.
Right.
Good Lord. Thank you for God. So, again, recapping what God's graciousness, God's mercy, God's long-suffering, even in the midst of our rebellion, in the midst of us calling other gods that we made up God and not wanting to follow his ways, God still did not forsake us in the wilderness when he could have for that 40 years. Reading on, verse 22.
Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners. So they possessed the land of Sidon and the land of the king of Heshbon and the land of Og, king of Bashan.
Again, we can read all this in the book of Joshua. Go ahead.
Their children also multipliedest thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land, concerning which thou hadst promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, or the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands, with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would.
So as we got into the promised land, we conquered the Canaanites and led many of them in captivity. Some we utterly destroyed. Some of the cities we utterly destroyed. But a lot of the Canaanites became our servants. They became our slaves. I didn't say slaves. They became our servants. Go ahead.
Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 25. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in the abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness.
Right. And again, we possessed the land of milk and honey. Go ahead.
26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations.
Right. A provocation means to provoke somebody. You know, they say, don't poke the bear. We kept poking the bear. You kick the dog or whatever. That we kept provoking God. Right. That from all his blessings and all he was doing for us, in the midst of he could have destroyed us in the wilderness, he still brought us to the promised land, still gave us servants, still gave us the most fertile land on the planet Earth, which guaranteed us the best health, which guaranteed us the most healthiest children. We had the best of everything, but we rebelled, and we threw God's law behind us. It wasn't this thing of God's law is just too hard for man to follow, that nobody could follow all of God's laws. That's a lie. We just read, and Nehemiah just told us that God gave us in a good spirit his laws and commandments. It wasn't punishment. It was good. It was a good, loving, no different than a parent looking out for his children. That this is what God was doing with the nation of Israel. But we kept rebelling. We kept provoking. We kept going against God, the Israelites. Reading on.
Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 27. Therefore thou deliveredest them into the hand of their enemies.
I hope everybody's catching this right here, because a lot of people are not familiar with this. The Israelites, we went into many captivities. This one here in America is not our first. We went into many captivities, more than just the four kingdoms of Daniel. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Medes, the Greeks, and the Romans. We went into many captivities for our rebellion. because for our disobedience, our rebellion, we were put in captivity many times under many different nations. Go, if you haven't, go back and read the book of Judges. That's what that was bringing up, that we went into captivity many times. Before David, before Saul, before Solomon, the Israelites under the judges, we went in captivity many times. Matter of fact, that's a lot of reasons why the judges got raised up. But keep reading. You can read again.
Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 27. Therefore thou deliveredest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee.
So in the time of our trouble, our enemy would vex us. They bring us to captivity. Not on ships like here in the Americas, but they would carry us away captive from our land, or even while we're in our land, they would conquer our land and make us subservient to them. God would allow this, but now we would go through this affliction. We get afflicted. We get vexed. We would cry to our God and ask for forgiveness as a nation, as a people. Reading on.
Thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors.
Gavest us what?
Saviors.
I hope everybody's seen it. God gave us saviors. Plural. Those were the judges. This is the history of Israel. We're going to capture, we'd be doing good, enjoying the prosperity of God as a nation. We would get prideful. We would get arrogant. We would get to where, and we would cast God's laws and his ways, his culture, his way of doing things. We cast it behind us. We would start following the ways of the nations. We start worshiping the pagan practices, the heathen practices, like Easter, Christmas, what became known as Easter, Christmas, hell, the stripper poles, incest, bestiality. We would start participating in the acts and the traditions of the nations around us in this one world unity type thing or what have you, instead of being separate and being the example of God's righteousness. We would go in captivity. While in captivity, while we were getting vexed, we would cry to our God. We would cry to our Father. Our Father would hear us from heaven, and then he would send, and he sent a Savior, many Saviors. We know from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 11, I believe it is, it tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. So even the idea of salvation, when you study the Bible, actually read the Bible, there's nothing new about it. We've been in captivity many times and have sought and gotten and received salvation from God many times. Our enemies now, America knows this. The founders of America understood this. Columbus and Myrna Incorporated understood this. We have the records that Columbus knew he was looking for the lost sheep of Israel, the lost tribes of Israel. He had our records. He had Second Ezra. He had the Apocrypha. And he knew there was another land that nobody had inhabited but the 12 tribes. And he was searching for the treasure of the 12 tribes to bring back the Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain. The records are out here. The classes have already been done on that. But in knowing our history and having our records, they also understood that as long as we were kept ignorant or in the dark or defiled in the eyes of God, then our enemies would be allowed to rule over us. Our enemies would be allowed to have world power, world domination, become the superpowers. From the Babylonians to the Greeks to the Romans to the modern-day America, modern-day Russia, Britain, or what have you, that our enemies would be able to stay over us as long as we stay defiled. And being defiled also in us not being to apply God's righteousness, and us not being able to cry to our God, hell, from changing the Sabbath day from so-called Saturday to Sunday, that was strategic, knowing that now, and going to church on Sunday, that's not got the day of rest. That's not the Lord's day. But now to teach us and imprint upon us through religion that Sunday is the Lord's day. Instead of getting caught up into the Passover Now let's teach them communion. So that now they're getting caught up to the bread every Sunday, a little sip of wine every Sunday, but not observing the Passover. Because if you think about the Passover, as they had this in captivity, the Americans, the Spanish, the Portuguese, the British, the Irish, the Germans, as they've had this in captivity, if we're thinking about the Passover, what was the Passover? That was God freeing the slaves, freeing the Israelites from the hand of their captors. So they didn't want us thinking about we're the slaves now, and we must be the Israelites, and we pray to our God was in the Savior. Our enemies knew this. Our enemies understood this fact. So they had to make sure they kept us divided. Christ even told us, Matthew 25:22, I believe it is, it says, a nation divided against itself can't stand. So in making sure that now they took the 12 tribes and the different captors, making sure that we learn Spanish, but in the different forms of Spanish. Others made sure that part of the 12 tribes learned Portuguese and instilled in them that that's supposed to be their native language. While others, it was the English or the Pidgin English or the Patois or the French or the Creole. That in that, we have to make sure that they cannot unite in language. So we had to come up with that. Then all the different religions that was forced upon us to keep us divided. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. You're Methodist. You're Episcopalian. You're Catholic. You're Jehovah's Witness. You're non-denominational. You're Seventh-day Adventist. You're a Holy Roller. You're a Jesuit. And then for those who don't want to be talking about religion, cool. You're a Mason. You're a Moor. You're a fraternity. You're an Alpha. You're an Omega. You're a Lambda. You're a Sigma. You're a Sigma Chi, whatever. You're in the military. No, you're a Marine. You're a Navy. No, you're Army. No, you're a Coast Guard. We got to keep y'all divided every single way we can. Because the power of Israel was always in our unity as a nation. And in every captivity, we would come together at the beginning of captivity. We would come together as a nation, and we would cry to the Lord, our God. And we would start and humble ourselves. And he would always send a Savior. Our enemies have been understanding this. So to make sure that we don't have any connection that we're the Israelites. They force religion, or we're going to be atheists? Cool, be atheists and chase money, or chase a union job, or again, a fraternity, or science, or whatever.
Going to politics.
Going to politics.
Going to the education system of the land, Wall Street, any method of division that they could come up with. They pretty much forced upon us.
Crips, Bloods. You live in the Valley. You live on the East Side. F them niggas on the East Side. F them niggas on the South Side.
Right.
We got to develop all these beefs. We got to develop all these struggles. We got to make sure that there's just division every single way we can come up with it. We need to come up with it. We cannot let them unite. We cannot let them unite under God's righteousness. Whenever they did in history, God always destroyed that nation or that people that had them in captivity. That's common, basic Bible history. But you won't learn that through religion. You won't get that from religion. And then from generations, for the 500 years, from 1492 up until 2022, we've been under the hand of our enemies to teach us wrong. In Revelation, it talks about the woman being fed from the mouth of the serpent, a water or a lies,
right.
to get us swept up.
The influences.
And all the influences and lies of this society, of this culture. So in that, now we're taking a look at, even for our idea of what profanity is, that to have us more focused on goddamn, fuck, shit, hell, filth, flarn, pussy, dick, that, oh my God, that now we're focused on that more than what God actually calls profanity, than what God actually calls or looks at as being profane. To where now, as we're going to go through these, some of these scriptures, we're going to see that the lifestyle pushes, influences that America is forcing, that the world is forcing right now, the lifestyle is profane. The lifestyle, the choices that are being made available without freedom of persecution, with the freedom of persecution, the freedom of what America now is calling civil rights, that all these things are actually profane. And to speak these things, to support these things, to defend these things that God calls profane, now it's intruding upon the American liberties, the American
privileges.
And that understanding that, no, all these things are profane in the eyes of God, in the ears of God. But they got us more caught up into thinking about goddamn, fuck, shit, hell, bitch, pussy-ass nigga, dick, cunt, hoe, bastard, nigga, that, oh, these words, shit, oh my God, they got us more caught up in that, but that, now, we should have those same reactions from same-sex marriages. When you hear about two men getting married, you should have the same reaction as, motherfucker, what the fuck did you just say, goddammit?
Right.
Suck a dick, eat shit, and die, you fucking bastard. You should have the same reaction that the hairs in the back of your neck stand up.
When those words are repeated, when you hear those words, you get this reaction of, oh my God, and you cringe. And,
yeah.
But you don't cringe at the
things that God actually calls profane, right. At the things that God said that makes that God's hair stand up when he hears it, when he sees it. That is so disgusting. But we've been turned totally upside down concerning God's righteousness. We've been turned totally away from what is actually right and proper in God's eyes. That, like it says in Amos, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. That we're so caught up in the wrong thing. And now, when I say the wrong thing, that we're thinking we're doing good by keeping the American standard, by being good American citizens, if you will, by being good humanitarians, if you will, that we're not members. There's only one race that matters. That's the human race. We're so caught up to that type of thinking and those type of sayings, not understanding that those things are profane in the ears and eyes of God. And that's what the purpose of this is. So let's read verse 27 one more time.
Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 27. And it reads, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven.
God heard us from heaven. When we as a nation, not individuals, when we as a nation turn to our God and pray to our God. When we humbled ourselves, we would come and we would put on sackcloth and we would humble ourselves as a nation and pray to our God for forgiveness. We would repent. We would confess that how we was living, what we was doing, whatever practices, customs, traditions we had caught up into was against him. We would confess these things as a nation and he would send a Savior. Keep reading.
And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors.
Saviors, plural. Go ahead.
Who saved them out of the hand of their enemies.
Who did what?
Saved them out of the hand of their enemies.
Who saved us out of the hand of our enemies. Come on, brothers and sisters. I, we've got to get the ringing out of our ears about the cuss word, what we consider to be cuss words, and hear what's going on. Because this is one of the scriptures that has never been read to you in church. This is one of the scriptures that has never read to you in Bible study, in understanding salvation, and what it says to be saved. You're thinking that if you're a good Baptist, a good Methodist, a good Lutheran, a good Calvinist, a good Seventh-day Adventist, a good Jehovah's Witness, a good Catholic, a good tax-paying American, that's going to save you. But that's not who Christ is coming to save. That's not who God is coming to save. But your attention and focus has been directed in those things for so long that you really have been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed and hypnotized into believing that is the way to salvation. And it really isn't. It really isn't. That's not going to bring us to God's salvation. Let's go ahead and jump into it now. Let's go to Malachi chapter 2, let's start verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. Let's go to the book of Malachi chapter 2, and we'll start verse 1.
God. We are in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you.
All right, so this is to the priests. Obviously not the Catholic priests. All right, I was not the Massey priest, if I gotta go there to Russell Spain, whatever. That this talks to the priests of Israel. All right, read again, please.
Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you.
Now, like I said, I can make this, we could go into good Lord. Everybody give me 2 seconds. It's about a little bit. Let me catch up here.
Okay.
Or just recap or what happened.
Recap. We are in Malachi 2 and verse 1. We just been going over how we have been divided with how society and the so-called white man has got us to turn against us and to turn against ourselves, dividing us, also deceiving us into believing that the cuss words like goddamn and so on are not what cursing is and is what is profane to the Heavenly Father. When things of the nature of same-sex marriages, these religions, the holidays, such as Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, these are the things that are actually profane and filthy to the Heavenly Father. Cuss words like, you know, dick, pussy, fuck, all of those words that you can think of, the so-called white man, Edomite Nation, has us believing that this is what is profane to the Most High. This is what we can be sent to hell for. Pretty much, what else we've been going over is, we've had saviors, when we come together in unity, in which actually in Psalms 133 and 1, because of the unity, the us being in unity is so powerful and so beautiful to the Heavenly Father that it is actually, our blessings are actually commanded in the unity. And in this division that we've been taught, we've been brought up on, we've been deceived into believing simple cuss words are curse words are what displeases the Heavenly Father, when it is the actual deeds like homosexuality, bestiality.
We're going to cover all that. Okay. So now we're in Malachi chapter 2, and now this is what the Most High speaking to the priests, right? To the priests of Israel. And this is while we was in the promised land still. This is before we came over here into this current captivity in the Americas. This was a message to us while we were still in Israel, while we were definitely still there. And he says, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Verse 2.
If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you.
He said, if we won't give glory unto God's name. Now, again, through religion, we've been taught through religion that giving glory to God's name is singing some gospel songs. That's giving glory to God's names, to God's name. That, brothers and sisters, that is not giving glory to God's name. That's what you learn from religion. Giving glory to God's name is to do things his way. No different than if you were in sports and a captain of the team got hurt, or the coach died, or something to that effect, and you would wear like a black ribbon on your sleeve or on your helmet, or you might wear the same number. Everybody on the team wears this fallen player's number, and in doing so, you're going to play that next game in his name, meaning in his honor, and giving him glory, that you're going to play with the same dedication, with the same champion mind, an example that he displayed, that you're going to give him glory, you're going to give him honor with this next game to this person. In that mentality, that's what it means when you're doing something in the name of God. I'm doing it in God's name because this is how God would do it. I'm doing it in Jesus' name because this is how Jesus would do it. So if you're praying over your food, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, would Jesus be eating pork? So if you're going to do it in his name, then aren't you doing it in his name? That means now you're eating the same food he would eat in his name. In his name, if he was allergic to catfish, how can you pray over catfish and say, well, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. If that's what made him sick, then how could you say that I'm doing this in Jesus' name? Am I making sense with this?
God.
That you're doing it for the Gipper. You're doing it DJ Casely just died about 2 days ago. A famous old school hip hop rapper, a DJ. So now a lot of DJs now are going to be giving tributes. That's the word I'm looking for.
Right.
They're going to be giving tributes to DJ Casely. So they're going to be mimicking for the next couple of days or week or what have you. They're going to be mimicking his style of DJing. From his insults, the way he put the mixtapes together, because he was one of the pioneers in putting a mixtape together. Right. So there's going to be a lot of people imitating in his honor and doing things in his name, how he DJed.
Yeah, his method of how he DJed, how he mixed the records in, how he the rappers, the specific rappers that he used in his DJ show.
Right.
You know, the way he scratched and mixed in, I believe he was one of the what is it, predecessors or fathers of the Transformer scratch. Just giving tribute to his style.
Exactly.
Doing it in his name. This is in tribute or in the name of K. Slick.
This for you. Right. When people have been accepting like Academy Awards or whatever, especially a black entertainer, they might say, I'm doing this in the name of Cicely Tyson or whatever, or Sidney Poitier or what have you. That I'm doing this in the same spirit, in the same mentality, in the same style that our heroes did it. That's what it means to give glory to somebody's name. That I'm doing it after you. I'm doing it in the same way or same fashion you did things. So for the father here to say in verse 2 that the priests, if they're not going to give glory to God's name, meaning if you're not, you can't put like a rap song out that just talks about getting high, committing adultery, hell, even nowadays doing some homosexual acts. You get the Grammy Award, and you go up on stage and say, first off, without God, I wouldn't be here, and without God, all things are possible. It was only through God that I was able to do this. Stop. As if God is doing Molly's, Xanax, fentanyl, smoking trees, and
sharing
women to where the jacuzzi is full of pussy juice, and now you thanking God because you did it in God's name, because you just said God, give God the glory. That is not how God gets his glory. That's ridiculous to even think that. But who would give us such a ridiculous thought? Our enemies, God's enemies, would give us such a ridiculous thought that if you got an Academy Award for being a homosexual, and you gonna thank God? You didn't do that in God's name. If you can do it in God's name, you would have been the one on the news destroying the whole set. You've been the one with a sword trying to chop out somebody the true, if this is going after a true story, then you're trying to find the guy that you're imitating or acting behind and trying to put his ass to death if you're doing it in God's name. But just because you say God after everything, or because you
it's like Denzel, who won the Academy Award for being the bad cop doing,
right,
you know, murdering, selling drugs, in cahoots with the drug dealers, then robbing the drug dealers, then trying to put his rookie partner to death, murder, being in conspiracy with that, and he finally wins the Academy Award, and then he got up and he said, first of all, I would like to thank the Lord for this blessing.
No. If you're going to do it in God's name, then how would God have handled drug dealers? How would God have handled dirty politicians? How would God have handled the love of money? How would God feel about you murdered your mentor to get this money, because you beat up some Russian? That's not in God's name. But because you got up on stage and said, I'm dedicating this to God, God didn't hear none of that. Everything that was done is profane. That's what we're going to get into. So the priests have not been giving God God's glory. You think that because you say it in word, to God be the glory. If if it be God being glory, then after being in America, if I get arrested, if I got arrested for killing a homosexual, then when I'm in jail, I'd be giving God the glory because I'd be reading the scripture about why the homosexual got killed. I'd be reading Leviticus 20:13. So now my actions, that everything I've done, is not because I had this vision, this dream, a dog was talking to me, whatever. This is what the scripture says. I'm following God's word. To God be glory. I did this behind what the Bible says to do, behind what God's word says to do. If it's even to the point of, if it's me being attacked by another Israelite brother, and I forgive, I turn the other cheek for him. Anybody like, fool, don't you know he'll just hit you again? To God be glory. God said, if your brother smites you on the one cheek, your brother smites you on the one cheek, turn to him the other. Man, fuck that. Just like everybody seen the Chris Rock slap, the Will Smith slap Chris Rock. Everybody, no, fuck that. I'd have fought off this dude. I'd still be slapping the shit out of him right now.
Right.
But to Chris Rock's glory, to God be glory, turn the other cheek. If he would have quoted the scripture, that would have given Chris Rock even that much more props and credit that he did this in the name of God. Slap! Keep my wife's name out your mouth. You know what? If your brother smites in one cheek, turn him the other. Brother, I apologize. Forgive me. I'll never do that again. To God be glory. That would have been giving God glory.
Right. But instead, the cuss words, keep your wife's fucking name out, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. That was what everybody focused on.
Yeah.
For the rest of the show. It really wasn't the smack. It really became how he reacted, what he said, with the curse words, the so-called 400 words.
Right.
That caused him to now be, he was now cursed or being punished to not be able to go to another Academy Award ceremony for how many years?
For 10 years.
10 years. So he got a 10-year sentence of omittance. And it was for cussing.
Well, it was for the violence.
Well, it was for the violence, too. If it would have really been for the violence, they would have arrested his ass. He would have been arrested on TV.
True. But if it was, again, getting back to the point of if it was about giving God the glory,
right,
then Chris Rock would have said, he would have quoted the scripture and said, that's why I'm not going to continue it. That's why I'm not going to, we're going to get into this dust up. That's why I'm not going to do anything. That's why I'm going to apologize. Because if I've offended you, I apologize. Give me another chance. And people say, this is the scripture I'm using to justify my actions. That would have been giving God the glory. So the Father, the Most High, is saying here in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2. If we read that again.
Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2, and it reads, if ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name.
If it's not in your heart, meaning if it's not in your mind, that okay, this is why, you know, we stress so much, are you studying? So that when you come in situations, that there's a scripture in the Apocrypha, I don't want it right now, but there's a scripture in the Apocrypha that says that wisdom will meet you in every thought. If you're studying, you should be studying so as situations arise, you know how to properly handle the situation according to how the Most High wants you to. Not according to what your reaction is, your emotion is, what the world says you should do. But it should be a scripture that meets you. Not to give to somebody else, but for you to apply. If somebody slaps you, offends you, slaps you on one cheek, it should come to your mind. You've been studying so much, come to your mind. Turn to him the other. That should be automatic. It shouldn't be, I got slapped back. then it's not in your mind. That's the scripture in God's way is not in your heart. It should be there to where as situations arise. If it's eating pork, the scripture should be in your mind. The swine is unclean. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. That should automatically be in your mind. It should be in your heart. So when somebody's trying to present this to you, there's already a scripture in your mind to combat what's going on. But that's not the case. The priest ain't, if the priest is supposed to be teaching us God's word and it's not in his mind, then how can it be in the mind of the people? It's not going to be. And this was God talking to the Israelite priest, let alone the Catholic priest, the Jesuit priest, or whoever. Reading on.
I will even send a curse upon you.
I'm going to send a curse upon you then. I'm going to make this easy. If my way of doing things is not in your mind, you're going to be cursed. Go ahead.
And I will curse your blessing.
And for what you think is a blessing, I did this. I got me this. My wisdom, my knowledge. You know what? It was my hard work and my dedication. It was my obsessive determination to go about getting this done or doing this or doing that. That's what got me this blessing. I'm about to curse your blessing. He's gonna get read on.
Yeah, I have cursed them already.
It's already cursed. You think that that's a blessing? And God can't stand it. You're thinking that you're coming up. But you didn't do anything in the way God wants things done. So you got a little come up. You got a little, what you think is a little reward. You think you got a little something, something. And God said, I was nowhere in your thoughts. Your way of getting what you got had nothing to do with me. If it's a woman. I'm going to use that first. I finally got me a man. But did you use any scriptures to see what God calls a man? A wise man? A righteous man? You think because you're in church, I want a God-fearing man. So I'm going to go to church. Is that what God said, dude? Is that what God said you can find a God-fearing man? Or does God have instructions? Does God have scriptures about how to recognize a God-fearing man? Or did you get a God-fearing man because he's a good Catholic? He's a good Baptist. He's a good man. He can sing like Luther faggot-ass Vandross. And because he can sing like Luther faggot-ass Vandross, he sings like an angel. Oh, he must be a good man. Or he's a down-low ass nigga. But he's in church. Did you really use any of God's word? Or did you use people that was in church by what they said a good man is? But because he pays his taxes. Because he drives, from back in the day, a Lexus. That's how I said to anybody today. He drives a Mercedes today. He drives a Maybach. He drives a Tesla. That's what makes him a good man. Because on the videos, the ballers drive the Maybachs, the Ferraris, a Lamborghini, and he got one. Diablo. Akon. So he must be a good man. He has a tattoo of a scripture on his arm. He must be a good man. At what point did you go in the scriptures and match it to the scriptures that this is what makes a good man? No, you didn't. And now, so you thought you got blessed, but guess what? That wasn't the blessing. For men, you got a woman. She says she loves me. She says she cares about me. She says this, that, whatever. Okay, where'd y'all meet at? The club. She's special because she's been hurt before and she knows that I understand that she's been hurt and that I would never hurt her. What? Have you talked to any of her, like Christ with the woman at the well? Hey, the dude you with right now, that ain't your husband. You've had five husbands. And that nigga you with right now ain't your husband. You're a hoe. I can ask you and talk to you just fine, but you're a hoe.
He didn't say, you should let me love you.
For real.
You know,
that's
how you obtained your woman.
Because she was in church wearing the biggest hat, the tightest dress, and she just gave me the eye. She just gave me the look. And it was just instant love. I knew she was God sent. That's why you caught her in bed with somebody? You don't use none of God's virtues or none of God's ways have we used to determine anything from a relationships to what have you. And then we wonder why it doesn't work. You have not been using God. You say you've been taught through religion to say God's name, but not to do things the way God does things. God, please send me this. God, send me a sign. God, do me this. God, give me this. But you ain't really studying to see, is this really heaven sent? Is this really sent to you from the Most High? Or was this you just going about what you thought was a blessing? What you thought was good? Compared to what? Most likely you compare it to some religious experience. Or most likely, if it's, you know, a bunch of men that I got with her because all the other niggas wanted her. So I got her to prove I got game. And now I got to fight niggas every goddamn night. Because she's a hoe. But I got her. There's a couple rap songs that says, don't kiss her. Please don't kiss her. Right. And the movie, Don't Be a Menace for Nigga Juice in the Hood. when he kissed some girl, he said, nigga, you know you just kiss every nigga in the hood right now, right? You haven't used any scripture for anything. But because you've been taught by a reverend, a priest, a pastor, somebody you thought was God-fearing, that must be sent from God. Where have you used the scriptures to measure? Keep reading, verse 3.
Verse 3. Oh, wait. At the end of Malachi, the second verse.
Go ahead.
Because ye do not lay it to heart.
It's not in your mind. To do it God's way in his name, you're not doing it in the way he would do things. You're doing it from what you see. Remember, faith comes by what? Hearing, not by sight. You go by what you see, but not by what you've read. And let me apply God's word. Well, if I do God's way, I'll never get married. It's going to take me forever. If I do God's way, that's too long. Eyes? You keep thinking that, but who profits from you thinking like that? If it's going with marriages. Why you got to get a marriage license? Who gets money for that? When there's the marriage counseling, who's getting money for that? As you two get locked up in jail for domestic violence, who's getting money for that? When y'all get divorced, who's getting money for that? Think about it. Well, you're thinking that this is my blessing. I'm just using that for an example. Reading on.
Malachi chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, behold, I will corrupt your seed.
I will corrupt your seed, your children. I'm going to corrupt your seed. Your children are going to be messed up because you're going to give it to the wrong person. As we're going to get into Leviticus, the 21st chapter and 22nd chapter, God tells the priest what type of wife they're supposed to marry. He has a standard that a priest is supposed to marry. that ain't nobody considering, ain't nobody looking at. So now we have kids, and now because marriages are based on lust and not based on God's measure of love, the kids suffer. Our children suffer. Our children ain't raised in a loving, nurturing environment. It's a tense, selfish, very corrupt environment that our kids have been raised up in. Because we're chasing this thing that we think is love, when it's really lust. Reading on, he says, "Behold, I will corrupt your seed." Go ahead.
"And spread dung upon your faces."
Do you know what dung is? We went over this yesterday. Dung is shit. I'm going to rub shit in your face. And again, I'm not supposed to use the word shit here because now I know we're going to lose the point. I'm going to get shit-faced. Ain't that the same?
Yeah, that is the same.
Because God's telling us right here, because we don't lay his way to heart, he's going to get us shit-faced. But that ain't talking about getting drunk. It's about you. He's going to rub your face in this shit. The same way we do a puppy or a dog, when we're trying to potty train them, don't shit over here. So God keeps rubbing this shit in our faces. Don't get with this type of person. Your thinking is fucking wrong. Oh, you shit on the carpet again? Rub your face in it. You got with the wrong person again? Rub your face in it. Yeah, you're embarrassed? You're supposed to be. Because you're not using any of God's standards. But you think, because you say, well, God, I prayed for it. God, help me. God, give me this. God, do this. God, the most famous words. God knows my heart. God knows what I like.
Lord, have mercy. He knows what I like.
Yeah.
Friday, Bernie Mac.
That mentality stays in people's minds. And then who comes up with the shitty face? With shit on your face? With dung on your face? You. But you thought he was the blessing. You thought she was the blessing. Reading on.
Even the dung of your solemn feast.
Even the shit of your solemn, of what the feast that you put together, that you appreciate. We met on Valentine's Day. We married Thanksgiving, Lover's Day, fucking April 1st or
Fool's Day,
what have you.
St. Patrick's.
This is our anniversary.
Chicken wings and liquor.
Yeah, this is the first time that we met at the bar and we both got drunk and while she was puking in the toilet, I was holding her hair back and then I fell asleep on the bed and she put the trash can right there so I could throw up in it, man, and I just didn't write it in there, man. I woke up the next morning and Listerine, it was love. So this is our anniversary.
Right.
And you know, we had our 1 month anniversary, our 2 month anniversary, our 3 month anniversary, our 4 month anniversary. Who was that? Tony?
Yeah.
It's our anniversary. Baby, you and me. And God is like, I'm gonna spread that. I'm gonna rub your face in that shit. So now every June 2nd, it's just. My heart hurts because that was the day we met. I keep her last voicemail that she sent to me. I keep that on my phone so I can just hear her voice.
Would that include the actual like ceremony, marriage that we call marriage by Maslow?
Hell yeah!
Because it's a feast. It's a feast. There's a feast. There's a reception. Even your own personal, which is your solemn, you know, your marriage vows
of what
you
put together.
That I now pronounce you, in, you know, man and wife. And
like Earthquake says, she said his best friend, get the wedding video. He has to play it backwards. Okay. Right. Reading on.
Even the dung of your solemn feast and one shall take you away with it.
Go ahead.
Malachi is the second chapter of the fourth verse. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you.
And you don't know, I'm not with this. Go ahead.
That my covenant might be with Levi, with, saith the Lord of hosts.
Go ahead.
5, my covenant was with him of life and peace.
The covenant that God gave the Levites to give to the Israelites was to give us life and peace. To follow God's way, his laws, to obey him was to give us life and peace. That's what it was about from the very beginning. That's why we had arranged marriages. If we don't take it there, since we are here, there was arranged marriages so that these two young people didn't just get together out of emotion, out of infatuation, out of lust. The father was not, it was prearranged so he can get more wealth. We couldn't get more wealthy. It was to make sure that she was going to get with somebody that was going to truly protect and love her. This nigga had some scruples. This nigga wasn't insane. So now she's not fucked up in the head. And now they got fucked up kids. That's why we had arranged marriages. But what's the American standard? Freedom. That I should be free to marry who the hell I want to. Even that abominable-ass movie, Coming to America. That, in the eyes of God, is a goddamn abomination. I don't care how many people, black people, Eddie Murphy used on the set. That was against God. But it was funny, according to American humor, that the girl that was born to him, ready to obey everything he said, that wasn't good enough. He needed to get a woman who labeled men already, that was already defiled, that had no understanding of his culture, of his ways, how God wants things done. And then his son was from a woman that he was drugged by?
I didn't know if you had seen that. Wow.
Come on, man. Verse 5?
Verse 5. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me.
I gave him this because they respected me. The fear here, so it respected me. We respected God. That's why God revealed his secrets of life and peace, how to have a peaceful, healthy life, a peaceful, healthy marriage, peaceful, healthy community, a peaceful, healthy nation. Not dysfunctional. Read.
And was afraid before my name.
And afraid before my name. Like, in the name of God, I'm not going to do this. There's no way God would allow me to do that, or God would think that this is acceptable. I don't want to lose God's respect. I don't want to lose God's protection. Read.
Malachi, the second chapter and the sixth verse. The law of truth was in his mouth.
The law of truth was in his mouth, which was God's commandment, not how he truly felt. Read.
And iniquity was not found in his lips.
And again, iniquity. The synonym I love for iniquity is opinion. Levi's opinion was not in his mouth. And let's get it straight. Well, I'm not going to go there. And iniquity, Well, God gives a lot, but you know what, God, I think.
Just get me to the gate and I'll talk it over.
You know, God, I don't know if you was thinking about how I might feel about this type of law. That was not in his lips. Go ahead.
He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity.
Go ahead.
For the priest's lips should keep knowledge.
The priest's lips should keep knowledge. Whose knowledge?
The knowledge of the Most High.
The knowledge of the Most High. How the Most High wants things done. That's what a priest's lips should be giving. Go ahead.
And they should seek the law and at his mouth.
They should seek the law at his mouth. What does God's law say? Read.
For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
Because a priest is supposed to be the messenger of God. Not of somebody's dream. Not of somebody's feelings, but of the law of God. Not of people's opinions. Not even his own damn opinions. He should be giving God's law. Read.
But ye are departed out of the way.
But we're departed out of the way. We don't do it that way. Go ahead.
Ye have caused many to stumble at the law.
We have caused many to stumble at the law by giving our opinions. Read. We're in verse 8. We're in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 8.
But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts.
Read.
Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law.
We've been partial in the law. That I'll follow the laws if I feel it's good, if it's going to benefit me somehow. If I like, if it goes to my emotions, if it goes to how I'm feeling. Let's keep reading.
10. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother?
Go ahead.
By profaning the covenant of our fathers?
And again, now we're dealing with this profaning, right? About what it means to be profane, profanity and profane. So God is about to give a list. We're starting this list now of some of the things that we do that God considers profane. Let's keep reading. Go ahead.
Malachi chapter 2 and verse 11.
So he said, and we have not our one father for the 12 tribes? Yes. Our father is the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He calls us his children. He is our father. All right. That's why we say the Lord's Prayer, as Israelites, our Father who art in heaven. We have one father. But today is, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Episcopalian. A Buddhist. I'm a Crip. I'm blood. I didn't run my lineage or my set.
I live by the code.
Or the street or what have you. That's not my father. That's not who begat me. I'm under this here. I'm under this here. I'm under that here. I'm not under the Heavenly Father. And has not one God created us? Yeah, the Israelites. God created us as Israelites, but we ain't calling ourselves Israelites. So we don't treat each other the way God wants us to treat one another. Verse 11.
Malachi chapter 2, verse 11, and it reads, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel.
Listen up. I want everybody to please listen very carefully to what's about to be read. We're about to get a description of things God calls profane and abominable. And remember, something that's abominable is detestable to the point where to see it or to hear about it makes you sick. It makes you want to vomit. So God's about to describe some of the things that our people do that are profane and makes them vomit. Now let's see if any of these things got anything to do with shit, fuck, goddamn, pussy, ass, bitch. Read.
Malachi chapter 2 and verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord.
Judah has profaned the holiness of the Lord. Go ahead.
Which he loved and hath married the daughter of a strange God.
And they married the daughter of a strange God. Interracial marriages. Read.
The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar.
It don't matter who you are. It don't matter if you're Russell Simmons, Jay-Z, Tyler Perry. Give me some rich-ass niggas.
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington, Will Smith. If you're the master or you're the scholar. You're Louis D. Bois. You are Denzel.
Wesley.
You are a scholar.
Richard Pryor, the late Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
He was married to.
But let's be more modern now. A scholar being your college professor. Your college professor. You're the head of your Mason house.
You won the Nobel Peace Prize, which, not Peace Prize, Dave Chappelle, he just won Mark Twain. He won the Mark Twain prize, and he's married to a Moabite or Chinese.
I say interracial, and I won't keep it, but this ain't just to interracial marriages.
Right.
It's the fact that these type of things are leading people away from, still leading people further away from God. Reading on, though.
Come on. And out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts.
Go ahead.
And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears.
And then you come into church or whatever, and you cover with tears about... trying to show that you feel bad, you feel messed up, you feel hurt, and crying to God about how your life is all fucked up now. Go ahead.
With weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with good will at your hand.
So you're doing so much crying about your decisions. God's like, I'm not even receiving it this week. I can't. Shut the fuck up. S-T-U-F. No, F-U. Yeah. S-T-F-U. You made those decisions. You didn't check with me before you did any of that, and now you're going to sit here and actually cry like now, or be like, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you give me this? Why did you do this to me? God's like, I didn't do that to you. You chose that shit. If you'd been listening to me and obeying me, you never would have been in that situation in the first goddamn place. But you didn't listen to me. You didn't go search out or study. You ran by what the fuck you saw. You thought it was a blessing. You thought it was good. You thought it was holy. You didn't use that one scripture in your decision making. Now you're here in front of the Most High crying because you got hurt, crying because of this, crying because of that. Didn't we just read above? He said he's going to rub your face. He's going to rub shit in our faces. Behind what we think is a blessing. Yeah, we just read that. But you don't read that in church, do you? You don't read that in your religion, do you? You're still following some dreams. There's a lot of Israelites that still do the same shit. I got this dream or this imagination in my head about what I think a relationship is, but what I think life is, but what I think whatever is. And I'm following that, and at no point am I stopping to see what are God's plans for Israelites. As an Israelite, what should I be doing, and what kind of goals should I be setting as an Israelite? What does it mean to be an Israelite? It means I'm God's servant. Where am I serving God at right now? And instead of trying to serve myself. So I'm going to make these decisions that please me. I'm going to make these decisions that make me feel good. I'm going to make these decisions that give me pleasure. Then when God's rubbing my face in the shit, I'm crying. I'm a hers. Why? Reading on.
Malachi, the second chapter and the 14th verse. Yet ye say, wherefore?
Why, God, why? Go ahead.
Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth.
I'm seeing you. I'm seeing how you treated the woman that I gave you. The woman you're supposed to be with, you treated her like shit. You didn't uphold her by any of my standards about what's supposed to be done. You went by what you thought was right, according to whatever your dad taught, your mom taught, society taught, whoever taught, but not by what God taught. Read.
And against whom thou hast dealt treacherously.
And remember, this is what God is telling us, what is profane and how men have dealt with their wives. And remember, let's get this correct. In God's eyes, when a man takes a woman's virginity, that is his wife. Not his jump off, not somebody he smashed, not just a notch on the bed or a notch on his belt to prove he's the man. He's Big Dick Willie. He's out here just busting cherries. You got these women giving you their virginity and you treat them like shit? That's profane in the eyes of God. God can't, that's not being the man. The Mac. I'm out here pimping, nigga, because that's what I do. I pimp. God ain't with that. But what's the mentality of most niggas out here today? That same shit. And God can't stand that. That's profane in the eyes of God, in the ears of God. Read.
Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant.
Read.
And did not he make one?
When you took her virginity? When she bled, that made y'all one. That made us one. Go ahead.
Yet had he the residue of the spirit.
Go ahead.
And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed.
That God might be able to seek what?
A godly seed.
See, this woman gave you her virginity. A blood covenant. She shed blood. So that by her going to that point, that she was supposed to be reserved, so there would be a good godly seed. That she showed you her love by giving her virginity. You better show her that love back. So now, as y'all have children, the children are raised in a wholesome environment. And then we're gonna be real about it. The only way that she became your wife before you have sex with her, one, because you talk shit, talk game, spit game, or do whatever, you already went to her father in the first goddamn place. I ain't say goddamn. That's unnecessary right now. You went to her father in the first God-blessed place. You made an arrangement with her father. I creep, yeah, just creeping on the download type shit. Don't bring your girl to the club. I'm a pimp. Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? That you supposed to have already made this arrangement with her father in the first damn place. So that the kids will be raised up in the right environment. Between two people that love one another. And they love God. They keep God's laws. They keep God's feast days. They understand God's idea about a husband and a wife, about a woman and a man. They understand about it takes a village to raise a nation. so that the kids are blessed. But this profane thing that we do, this treacherous abomination we do, is not how God does things. And we sit up here crying our ass off about why is it like this? Why is this going on? Why is this happening? And God is really like, you got some nerve. You really got some nerve. Then when now you made the decision you made, now your chair is supposed to fix it. You made your decisions that had nothing to do with me, but now God's supposed to somehow now, because you started crying, he's supposed to come in and just fix it. For you to go out and make the same damn decision, the same standard that you used all over again? You must be a comedian. I might look that word up in Hebrew. You, because you got to be joking. Finish it.
Malachi is the second chapter and the 15th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one, that he might speak of God we see. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of your youth.
Don't deal treacherously. Do not deal treacherously. That's profanity. That's profane in the ears and eyes of God. Reading on.
16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away.
What does God hate?
Putting away.
That you're not going to deal with her? You took her virginity, had sex with her, defiled her, corrupted her, and now you're not going to deal right with her? And now you're going to put her away? God hates that. See, let's understand God for a second. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible. God says a prudent man perceives the evil and hides himself. If God says that's what a prudent man would do, then why would God not have these measures of you had to go to the Father to make sure the Father okayed this marriage? Maybe to keep you away from some evil? We can go back and read the scriptures. Hell, it wasn't just, and this is why I hate religion. Didn't Abraham arrange a wife for Isaac? Not just for his daughters, where America makes the focus. God arranged the wife, the marriage for Isaac. Isaac arranged the marriage for Jacob. Do we even uphold that standard? Is that even thought about? Hell no, it's not. So that now, in foreseeing the evil, nah, you don't want to make that move there. Nah, this is the wrong, no, hold up. You want to marry this one over here, but this one over here does this. She acts like this. She's virtuous. She's faithful. She's loyal. She's about scriptures. She's about the Most High. You don't want that one, but you want this slut over here. She said, how many men? Been in how many relationships? And you love her? What the fuck wrong with you?
She's the one in America. In Queens.
What the hell are you thinking about? By the way, you remember there is reincarnation, right? You remember that dumbass. So you're going to marry this strange woman with these strange ways. So that when I come back, all that I built for you is going to be wasted away and gone because you wanted to be with this stranger? So that she gets alimony and some type of child support? Have you lost your fucking mind? That's the God of Israel. Are you looking for the towards the future at all? Or is it just about how you feel right now? You don't fucking think. But somehow, to me be the glory? Somehow you're going to really wrap your lips around that statement, to God be the glory. But God's method and God's standard wasn't used in anything. Because if it was, you would see that you're being profane. To even speak like you love this type of woman or love this type of man, that's profanity in the eyes of God, in the ears of God. So now, we're going to stay in dysfunctional families. But you swore, you can swear to God that when you got with this person, they must be God sent. Keep reading.
Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16, and it reads, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away."
The Lord who?
The God of Israel.
The Lord who?
The God of Israel.
The God of, did that say Methodist?
God of Israel.
Baptist.
Israel.
Did it say the God of America?
God of Israel.
Did it say God of the Masons?
God of Israel.
This ain't God of the stock market.
God of Israel.
God of the credit union.
God of Israel.
God of your credit score.
God of Israel.
God of some plastic surgeon.
God of Israel.
God of Pornhub.
God of Israel.
God of ex-hamster.
God of Israel.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Universe pageant.
The God of Israel.
The God of Israel. Go ahead.
Saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment.
One covereth violence with his garment. You and this woman, domestic violence. And you try to cover it up. Like, no, we really love each other. We really care about her. He just gets so upset sometimes. He just does this, but he really loves. Bullshit. Read.
Saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously.
Go ahead.
17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words.
Go ahead.
Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him?
Why is he listening? All I do is cry and get mad and get angry. Why does it seem like God's not listening? Because all your tears and all that shit, God's been tired of hearing it. God tried to warn you about it before you got your stupid ass into it. Now you even jumped into the shit, and now all of a sudden, because of your tears, whatever, now God's supposed to just come like a magic genie, whatever, and just fix it, because you don't want to think. You don't want to use his methods. Read.
Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord.
Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. He's just a pimp. He's a mat. He's a player. He's a man. That's a, you wearing him out with this shit. That everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And it's already 12 o'clock. It's already 12 o'clock in this class. We still have yet to break in Leviticus chapter 21 and Leviticus chapter 22. And we started Leviticus chapter 20. Chapter 20, chapter 21, and chapter 22. Tyler Perry's big faggot ass wearing, transvestite wearing ass, that is not good in the eyes of God. God can't stand that. But somehow y'all say that wholesome man, what the fuck is wholesome about a 6'5" ass man dressed like a woman? And getting paid for it.
Mocking the Lord, by the way, too.
And he mocks the Lord in his movies.
The Lord, you know, the way everything's a joke when it comes to the Heavenly Father.
But that's supposed to be funny. That's what, and this dude is damn near a billionaire. See, that's how to be a good American citizen. That's how to be good in the eyes of America, but not in the eyes of God. Let's finish this up and then one last scripture.
And he delighted in them, or where is the God of judgment?
Woe to the people that have this in mind, that you call evil good, and you're not about God's judgment. Last scripture for today, and this time, flu. I'm saying the truth. This 2 hours just flew by. Let's go to Revelation 18, verse 4. It's going to be the last one today.
Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4.
Yep.
And it reads, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Time. This is referring to Babylon the Great. And God is saying that the time has come that we're supposed to remove from Babylon the Great and its practices and the things that it allows. In the sins of Babylon the Great, so that we don't receive the plagues that God is sending upon this place, because this place is supposed to be God bless America that they have on their money, that doesn't judge anybody according to what the Bible says, according to using God's judgment, but lets everybody be as freaky as abominable, as profane, as wicked, as corrupted, as evil, as twisted, as they want to be in this place. God saying, as Israelites, we better stop following this shit. Don't get caught up in this madness, because he's coming to punish those things specifically, and those who partake in those things specifically. So with that, we are going to end, we have to end today's show at this time. I would love to be able to keep carrying this on. Oh, I would. I'm going to tell you the truth, y'all. I also start the show an hour earlier. And actually do a three-hour show. Yesterday we did a two-hour, 40-minute show. We were supposed to do a three-hour show today, but me and Bokey Barr were just exhausted. Exhausted beyond, beyond compare. So I wound up, because originally it was set this, my alarm went off at 8:30 this morning. I was taking my kids to school, and it went off at 8:30 Texas time, and I wasn't even back into the parking lot yet, so I had to adjust it. And I adjusted it for 9:30. And I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I'm listening to yesterday's show, just, you know, trying to get back in the spirit of things. Wound up nodding off, looked up, and it was 9:35. I'm like, oh, snap. So I had to adjust the time again to 10. And then walked in here, and we got the show started. But there's so much in this class. Again, we didn't even get a chance to get to Leviticus chapters 20 through 22, to even get more examples about God's idea of what it means to be profane, of God's idea of what it means to be, of using profanity. So with that, brothers and sisters, we're going to say shalom at this time. Here in San Antonio right now, it is 12. It's just after 12, and we got things to do. Hopefully, I can get another class in tomorrow. But the class tomorrow might be tomorrow night. All right? The class tomorrow might actually be tomorrow night. And, yeah, it's going to be part nine. It's going to be part nine. Yeah, and most likely, it's going to be tomorrow night. But we'll see. We'll see what the Most High says. Got anything?
No, I believe, even though it did go by quite fast, I feel a lot of content was included, and a lot of understanding was gathered today. And with that, I'm good.
Cool. All right. So please tune in. Check out our YouTube medias for ISBHBK. Houston, ISBHBK, San Antonio, ISBHBK, Virginia, and the Hidden Truth videos that Kazaki and them doing, the 5 Minutes of Wisdom that they be doing, have set up also. Please don't hesitate to check them out, and please remember to support Israelite businesses. Eastern Fragrances here in San Antonio, Sweet Ambiance in Houston, Virginia and Rochester, and also online, and also Pure Therapy. Please show support so we can keep these things going. Keep the teaching, keep the work of the teaching, keep the work of spreading the word, keep the work of cleansing our people, keep the work of preparing the bride to meet the bridegroom, like it says in Revelations. The baptism, the spiritual baptisms, that we're doing, and cleaning our minds with the word of God, cleaning our minds from the perceptions and from the lies and from the generational teachings that have been enforced and laid heavily upon us, that we can try really help wake our people up, all right, and preparing for Christ's arrival, and preparing for God's arrival, the last Savior, the last anointed Savior to come and make his appearance, to save us from the last captivity we as Israelites will ever be in ever again. All right, so with that, my name is Mashaba.
Yabarakawa.
And we would like to say shalom.
Shalom.